What's up, fam? How you guys doing? Good. It's good to be with you. Welcome to the core. You are the core. It's you. Cool. Tonight, we're going to do some looking at what God's doing at work in our church, how he's working, how he's just doing awesome things. I really want to encourage you guys with some things that we keep getting some updates over and over, and I just wanted to make sure you, our leaders, our core, are aware of the things that God is doing. You know, we're our church that our mission, I'm gonna screw this up, whether it's our mission or vision statement, I always get those two, but we want to win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. So we have a big emphasis of winning the lost, and we're going to do a series on that, that vision series that Josh talked about. We're going to do that in March, and we're going to talk about how we're doing that as a church, but I wanted you, the core, to know ways that God is winning people to himself in our church every single week. So I think it'll be encouraging. Hopefully it will be. It's been encouraging for me to think about these things. We all know it's been the longest year of eternity, except for when it's really not when we have that perspective, but it's been a tough year. And last March, we had to, or April, whenever it was, we had to shut things down. It just felt like plans had to change, and maybe the ideas that we had as a church, all that went off the rails, and sometimes that can feel like a distraction or a disappointment. But I'm here tonight to encourage you guys that COVID has not stopped the gospel. COVID has not stopped Jesus from working. Social unrest has not stopped the gospel. God is on his throne. So what I want to do is I want to basically do what this verse says. I read it last week, and that's the heart for my talk tonight. Psalm 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So that's my hope, is that we would exalt the name of the Lord together tonight, that our boast would be in the Lord, that basically I want to have a big brag party on Jesus tonight. So we're talking about fishing for people, or we could have called it opportunities for the gospel, or jazzercise for Jesus, or WWJD, I don't know. But I settled on fishing for people. So some of you may be aware of the things I'll share tonight. Others may not. Like I said, the pastors, we get reports that are just super encouraging all the time. And sometimes you guys don't hear about these things. So that's my hope, is to encourage you. Much of this is to remind you as well, encourage you. You know, like the great Bill Young quotes all the time, that people need to be reminded more than they need to be taught. I think that's true for tonight. So I'm going to pray, and then we will look at some cool things that God's doing. Pray with me. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for just the opportunity to be together and to worship you. Thanks for Brady leading us in worship, and all the amazing things that you have us a part of, Lord, all the ways that we can serve you. I thank you for these folks that are here tonight. Thanks for everybody that's watching online right now, or we'll watch in the next few days. Lord, we pray that you would just speak to us, encourage our hearts. May we hear your heart for people, for the lost, your goal for us as your people to be on mission for you, Jesus. So we commit it to you and pray that in your name. Amen. So the first point, you can write this down, is God brings opportunity for the gospel. You know this. We know this. Again, it's a reminder. But thinking about this idea, I was thinking about Luke 5, the story when Jesus first calls his disciples. You guys are aware of this. You know the story. Simon Peter, James, and John, they're fishing all night. They're out at night fishing, and they're having no luck getting any fish. Jesus walks by with a crowd, teaches them. He's like, hey, can I stand in your boat while I teach? All that happens. And then we pick it up in verse 4 of Luke 5. It says, when he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. Continuing on, when Simon Peter realized what had happened. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." Jesus replied to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. That's an amazing story. It's awesome. I can't imagine. If you've watched The Chosen, it depicts this whole story, which really my mind always goes to now. But it's an amazing thing that Jesus, this miraculous catching of all these fish. And so I want us to make this real. Peter most likely would have been disappointed. He would have been tired. He would have been frustrated that he didn't get the catch that he was planning for that night. The night didn't go the way he wanted it to, and our year didn't go the way we wanted it to. I'm sure nights like this didn't happen very often for Peter. He was a professional fisherman. There weren't probably many times he got nothing. But we see Jesus, despite what Peter was frustrated by and what he was disappointed by, Jesus is the one that brought the fish for Peter and James and John. And what did Peter have to do? All he had to do was just lower the net, right? He had to just go work where Jesus was already working, where Jesus was already doing his thing. Maybe you feel like Peter tonight, as the core of our church, leading a small group, being a deacon or a pastor, whatever it may be, you might feel like him. You're frustrated, tired, exhausted. It's not going the way you would hope. Nothing's working out. But again, I want to encourage us, the church, that God is at work in our midst here at the Rock Church. He really is. He's bringing fish left and right to our boats. Here at our church or at our jobs, in our neighborhood, if we stop and think about it, at school, within our families, we probably all have these stories that we could remember how God is bringing fish right up to our boat, and all we have to do is lower the net. Follow his leading. And one of the greatest opportunities for this work, and what I want to spend most of our time talking about, is how Jesus is using this building. We are the church, not the building, but God is using the opportunity we have in this building on our weekend services to bring fish to the boat. We can be sure of this, that God has set up a lighthouse in Draper, Utah. He has. And I love that quote, Mac, you used this weekend from D.L. Moody. It was awesome. It made me think of this. Lighthouses don't have to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light in the darkness, and he lives inside of us, and he has set up a lighthouse at this building here in Draper, Utah. The light of the world is flowing through us. People are lost at sea in the darkness, in the storms, and they are seeing a lighthouse and being drawn to the light of the world. And we get to help see them rescued. Isn't that awesome? We have to make no mistake. I have to make no mistake that Jesus is the one doing the work. We take no credit for it. We're just people that screw up all the time. But how cool is it that God invites us to partner with him in this good work? Knowing that God brings the opportunity for the gospel, we also have to remember and that we have to recognize the opportunity. That's what we're doing right now, is I want us to recognize the opportunity that we have where God is calling people to himself every single day, every single week, all the time, more than we understand or even know. We have a unique, amazing opportunity here at this church, in this state, that the Lord is calling people to himself, and we have to recognize it. I once again thought of Peter. For some reason, I think of Peter a lot because I'm just like him. Put my foot in my mouth all the time. Peter, right after Jesus ascended to heaven in Acts, once again, he had an opportunity by God that was brought right to him. In Acts 2, we can read this together. It says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, the disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let's remember first of all what's going on here. Jesus told them to stay in the city, but what they ended up doing is they went a step further and they locked themselves in a room, afraid that the authorities were coming for them like they came for Jesus. So they're alone, they're afraid, they're scared. And Jesus says, I'm going to come and I'm going to do work through you despite your frailty. So we continue on in chapter 2. Now there were devout men from every nation under heaven. The multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So once again, Jesus is bringing the fish right up to the boat for Peter, for the disciples. All they have to do is lower the nets. They just have to open their mouths. And we know that's what Peter did. He, of course, speaks of Jesus, and later on in the chapter, after he talks for a long time, going from Abraham to Jesus, Peter says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Do you see this opportunity? Do you see that God brought the opportunity? They were doing nothing. They have no credit to hold. God did everything. He brought the Holy Spirit. He brought the people. He gave them the words to speak. All Peter had to do was recognize the opportunity and open his mouth. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge all of us to realize that we truly do have a Pentecost, if you will, Pentecost moment in this state and in our church every single week. We really do. If we think about it, every single week people come, people are watching online, people are wanting something new, they are searching, God is calling them to himself. They're wondering what this life means after a pandemic, after all these issues that they see in this world. People are coming, and they're coming through our doors. We have people drive by, search for us online, people that hear about our church on social media. And it's just like these people in Jerusalem that are going about their daily life, and then they hear somebody speak and they go, what is going on there? So I want us to take a few minutes to think. I want to share some things that God is doing in this church through these doors. And again, we are the church. It's not the organization. It's not even the pastors. You guys are a part of this, and it's amazing. I want to give God praise and encourage all of us through what he is doing in our midst. So, again, visitors are coming each week. Just to name a few things, I can't even scratch the surface of all that God's doing. You guys probably even know more things than I do. But I just want to share some things that might hopefully lift your spirits tonight and spur us on to do more. But we have visitors every single week. Some that are believers that visit. But many, you guys know this, we have many unsaved people every single week coming through our doors looking for truth and a home and a place to belong. A couple of statistics just to share with you guys. I could have some of these numbers slightly wrong. But if I counted correctly, we had over 150 new families in 2020 that visited our church and filled out the back of the bulletin. That's just who filled out the back of the bulletin. That's amazing. In a global pandemic, 150 families visited. So far in we've had 4.5 weeks, 5 weeks of January, we've had 18 families fill out the back of a bulletin. Again, this is just opportunity. We have to recognize the opportunity. We've had numerous salvations just in the last 2 months. Through our Christmas series, we had dozens of people raise their hand after messages. In recent messages with 1 Peter, we've had dozens more in just the new year of people that have said yes to Jesus. After Bill's Taco Bell analogy of paying for people's food, just after one service, we had about a dozen people raise their hand that they prayed with Bill. We've had multiple salvations of after gospel conversations at the Connections booth that we've heard these awesome stories of just God doing amazing things. You guys have been part of this, so you know this. We've had gospel conversations in the lobby and people surrendering their life to Jesus. Even last month, guys, you have to know this, even last month at the core meeting, somebody still shared the gospel with a gal, and she was receptive to it. Like, every opportunity that we have to share the gospel, God is doing things. We saw 11 people get baptized during a global pandemic. That's just amazing things. And then this is the coolest one. I just want you guys to be aware of this. So we constantly, recently, have had multiple LDS people just out of the blue reach out to us of like, I want to know about what you believe. I want to know the Jesus that you worship. People reaching out for prayer because they have confusion about their faith. It's amazing. One guy you should know, his name's Paul Cardall. He's a musician, has like one of the biggest artists in the LDS music world. After 17 years of relationship and friendship with Steele, like over the last year, has given his life to Jesus and has walked away from the LDS church and is making it very public that his allegiance is with Jesus. And he got baptized at our church in November. He doesn't even live in Utah anymore, and he wanted to be baptized here. Like that again, that's not the Rock Church. It's just showing what God is doing through you guys. It's so encouraging. It's amazing. We had another gentleman who reached out to us, like no connection, just emailed us and said, after decades in the LDS church and all of this leadership in the LDS church, said, I can't believe it anymore. And I've been watching you guys online. And I can't tell my family. And I feel isolated. Will you pray for me? And then he showed up at church and Josh shared the gospel with him. Like, these are just, again, we don't get the credit. Jesus is just like fish right there by the boat. It's amazing. A sweet gal through Max's neighbor's granddaughter, they were able to share the gospel with her, and she is coming out of the LDS church. She comes to our small group. Like, just all of these amazing things. There's so many more, we couldn't name them all. But how encouraging is that? Just like that just gives me life of like, one, because it's not up to me. And two, because I get to be a part of it. I get to be a small part of it. Guys, we also have, even we have visitors every week, that people that are coming to churches from other churches and all that. God's going to work out, but where churches are not open right now with COVID, people are coming to visit us. And we have an opportunity to love on them, to encourage them. Some that are plugged into their churches, others that are not plugged in. Some that maybe call themselves Christian but don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because that's my story. That's the reason I'm here today, is because I went to another church and I was going through a really difficult time in my life. And this guy who was 10 years older than me, crazy and long hair, would show up at my school and push me up against the locker, because he was picking up his wife who worked at my school, and that was Steele. And he was really annoying, but loved me. And I knew he loved me, and he was also really cool because I had seen him play music, and he invited me to church, and another friend invited me to church, and when I showed up, Steele loved me. He gave me a hug and said we should get coffee and talk to me about life. And so many other people in this room welcomed me and said, let's go watch a movie after church. Let's go to dinner after church. All of these opportunities we have to just love people because God's bringing them right to us. Jesus controls the fruit. He knows who really believes in him, who is giving their allegiance to him, if that salvation is true. But I do know this, that God asks us as the core of the church to be faithful what he is bringing through our doors, to open our mouths to the fish that are swimming by in hopes that they will come in our nets. So, also one other thing I just wanted to share. You guys should know that's not normal. This is not normal. And again, it's all glory to God. We were just at a pastor conference like a week ago with pastors around the country, some in the Midwest, others around Utah, in other states. And honestly, it was like report after report of guys, pastors that are discouraged, that it's so difficult to get visitors to come, that it's so difficult to see somebody make a proclamation for Jesus, especially in COVID. And then they like come to us and like, hey, can you guys give us a report? Do you ever get visitors? And we're like, you mean this week? Or do you guys get salvations? We're like, yeah, like in the last week, is that what you're meaning? And it's honestly, it's a little, we feel sheepish at times because it's like, man, God is just so good to us. Like, why us? There's not anything special about us, but it's encouraging and we should not take it for granted that God is doing this in our midst because it's not happening in other places. God is bringing people constantly. We are seeing people respond to Jesus constantly and we're seeing lives change constantly. Is that encouraging? Why don't we just clap for Jesus for a minute there? Just say thank you to him. Amen. So what's our action point? What do we do after we know that God brings the opportunity, after we recognize it? We must seize the opportunity. Jesus says we will be his witnesses. And for us, we can make this real. We will be his witnesses in Draper. We can be his witnesses in the Salt Lake Valley. We can be his witnesses in Utah. And ultimately, God can use that to reach the ends of the world. Many times, the Lord walks with us and, again, does these things without us even realizing it, right? We just sometimes open our eyes and go, wow, like, thanks, God. Despite our shortcomings, despite our failures, we don't have a perfect church. We don't have perfect pastors. We don't have perfect people. Maybe some of you are, but God just brings these opportunities, and we shouldn't miss it. We should seize the opportunity. We should be on mission around town, in our neighborhood, at our jobs, at the gas station, but we definitely should be on mission when we walk through these doors. I want to encourage you guys, I want to challenge you guys, that we ratchet this up when we're coming to church to realize what an opportunity we can seize when we walk through these doors. We just have to open our mouths, right? Like Peter at Pentecost. So, a couple practicals. We should lead out in this, right? If we consider ourselves the leaders of this church, if we're not doing it, who else is? I'm challenged myself by this. Guys, my full-time job, part of my full-time job is worrying about where the furniture goes in this building. Like, I stay up at night thinking about the furniture in this building. It's so dumb, but it's great. But I could easily breeze past 12 people to go, that stool across the lobby is out of place and I need to move it right now. To my shame, that is me. Like, don't talk to me, Josh. Don't talk to me, visitor. Don't talk to me, person who's crying. There's a stool that should not be right there. So, that just tells you where my mind is at many times when I'm walking through here. So I'm sorry if I'm a jerk to you and I just walk right past you. But we should lead out in this, right? So if you are a person who comes in person, if you feel comfortable coming in person to church, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. I want to ask you, what is one way that you can reach out to someone new at church every week? Starting this week, this weekend. What is just one way? We used to talk about it in downtown all the time. Steele would bang that drum, three before me. Maybe you've never heard that I would talk to three people I don't know or three people I don't know well before I talk to my friend, before I go to sit down, before I get my coffee. I would look for opportunities to meet three people. Maybe three is too many, maybe just one. Is there one person you could greet and meet and love on before you go do your thing? And the other thing, too, for us in person, we need to realize it's not always our job to share the full gospel with every single person we come across. Sometimes we just need to listen. Sometimes we need to just hear. Sometimes we just need to love them closer to Jesus. Like, there's a line down the road that is giving their heart to Jesus, and it's like just giving them a small push or walking them along to that line, pointing them to Jesus. It's not always that, cool, you're new? All right, get ready. Here we go. Diagram, you know? Just be thinking about that. How can I just love people to bring them closer to Jesus? Loving someone you don't know is great. It challenges us. It gets us out of our comfort zone. Jesus is such a good example to us. He loves the unlovable. There is no stranger. I mean, he's God, but he lives in us. We can go and love people that way. And then I want to encourage anybody that's listening online, watching online, if you aren't comfortable coming to church right now, I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you, what is one way you can love people for the gospel right now? Is that sharing the sermon every week? Maybe you haven't shared that in a while. Maybe it's sending it to somebody you know. Maybe it's doing a watch party. It's connecting with others. Literally, we get emails all the time of people saying, I'm watching online. We have opportunity. If you're watching on Facebook, maybe it could just be go as far as like greeting somebody on Facebook. That seems awkward, but God can use it. That like, hey, I go to the Rock Church. So glad to see you. I don't know who you are. And I want to encourage you too, if you're not comfortable, again, we love you. You got to walk in your conviction. When you're comfortable to come back, we love you and want you back as soon as possible when you're comfortable. But do you have a plan of how to step back in to meeting in person? Of how to come back on mission for Jesus? And also know that there is such a good opportunity right now in person. When you're comfortable, we would love to have you. So, to end, I want to read one verse. That the words of Jesus, Matthew 9:36. So good for us to remember thinking about all of this, to think about his words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Guys, if the disciples prayed for this, you are the answer to their prayers, to be the laborers into the harvest. God has brought us this opportunity. He's done it, not us. He gets the credit, he gets the glory, he gets the fame, he gets the honor. But let's recognize it and let's seize it for his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we will break up into groups, maybe like, I don't know, 4 or 5. If you're with a couple, get another couple, and we'll talk through some discussion questions. But I'll pray, and then we'll do that for a bit. And then maybe you guys as a group could pray, too, for all of these things, for more opportunities, for recognizing it, for seizing the opportunity. So let's pray. Jesus, thanks again for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Yeah, really, you just, Lord, it's good to brag about you, to boast about what you have done. We have an amazing God, and you deserve all the glory, Lord. And so many times we want to talk about us and what we feel like we've done, Lord. I confess that I do that so often, or I get distracted, or I just lazy or insecure. Lord, I pray you'd help us to recognize where you're at work, to partner with you where you're at work, not to be spinning our wheels, doing our own thing on our own strength, but to walk in your grace and in your will, to just scoop up fish where you're drawing them. So thanks again for tonight. I pray you'd be with us as we discuss, as we pray. Would you give us ideas? Would you give us hearts for the lost like you have? Give us your eyes for people. Help us to be faithful with what you've brought in our midst, Lord. We give you all the glory and the praise and pray that in your name. Amen.